So if you feel like the fundamental maps we use to understand reality, whether they come from science or religion or political history, are all starting to glitch out at once, well, you're not alone. Our sources tonight suggest we are not just witnessing typical historical change. We might be in the middle of something much bigger, a profound shift.
Yeah, shift in consciousness, physical reality, maybe even the cosmos itself.
And that's what makes this particular deep dive so compelling, I think.
Absolutely. We've analyzed a stack of material that represents a really fascinating triangulation. We've got prophecy.
Right, the historical determinism kind of view.
Exactly. Specifically Nostradamus, but interpreted through Dolores Cannon's hypnotic work.
Yeah.
Then, totally different, we have this radical, modern, channeled metaphysics.
That's the Seth material via Jane
That's
Roberts.
the one. Concepts like reality being, well, essentially creation of thought. And then rounding it out, we have contemporary esoteric science and astrology.
Okay, so they're tracking actual physical cosmic events happening now.
Right. So we're fusing ancient warnings with modern channeling, looking at astrologers discussing these huge planetary alignments.
And trying to somehow reconcile all that with sources telling us physical reality is, well, maybe not as solid as we think, like a mass hallucination.
That's the challenge. The mission here is to synthesize what all these different streams, prophecy, astrology, higher consciousness channeling, are saying about the crises humanity is facing right now.
And maybe what the potential outcome is.
Exactly. And despite their wildly different origins, the consensus is kind of chillingly similar.
Which is.
That this present moment right now is marked as an extraordinary point in our evolution, a point where a rapid collective leap to a higher consciousness isn't just possible, it's like the main event.
Okay, wow. Let's definitely unpack this convergence.
Yeah.
Where should we start? Maybe with the immediate cosmic news. The astrologers seem pretty focused on something specific.
Yes, let's start there. They're talking a lot about an object known as 3ISLES.
Brii.
It's significant because it's only the third interstellar object of, great magnitude that we know has entered our solar system.
Okay. Third one, interstellar. Big deal astronomically, sure, but why the esoteric biz?
Well, the source material views this not just as an astronomical event, it's seen as a celestial messenger
A messenger.
or a cosmic visitor arriving precisely during this time of global crisis. The timing is key.
And there's even speculation linking it to the
That's one
Pleiades.
of the most intriguing bits in the material. Yeah,
Yeah.
links 3ISLES directly to the Pleiadian civilization.
And for anyone unfamiliar, the Pleiades often pop up in esoteric lore, right, as sort of spiritual teachers or consciousness architects for humanity.
Exactly. So this messenger is seen as arriving now specifically to influence or maybe catalyze a critical leap to a much higher state of consciousness for us.
Wow. Okay. So a visitor timed perfectly. And this ties into the astrology, too.
Oh, absolutely. Its arrival is timed with this colossal long-term astrological picture that's being painted right now. They call it the symbolic kite formation.
A kite formation. That sounds
It
complex.
is. And it's not just a quick alignment. This is a sustained grand trine
Right.
involving the really heavy hitters, the outer planets.
Right.
Uranus, Pluto, and Neptune conjunct Saturn.
Okay, wait. Uranus, Pluto, Neptune. Those are the generational forces, the ones that reshape society on a deep level.
Exactly.
So what does this kite formation functionally mean for us beyond just, heavy lifting astrologically?
It means radical, inescapable change. That's the bottom line. Astrologically, the kite structure forces integration
Integration of what?
of great personal upheaval,
Yeah.
symbolized by Pluto.
Okay.
Collective dreaming, illusions, but also spiritual potential, that's Neptune.
Right.
And sudden breakthroughs, flashes of insight, collective consciousness shifts, that's
And a
Uranus.
Saturn's role?
Saturn conjunct Neptune brings it all into structure.
Yeah.
It crystallizes the change, makes it real, forces us to confront the dissolving old forms and build something new. This alignment, it lasts all the way through 2027.
So this isn't a brief storm, it's a whole new climate.
You could say that. It signifies the dismantling of established power structures, sure, but also the deep collective unconscious being brought right up to the surface. The sources suggest the Earth itself is like a conscious breathing entity, actively responding to these cosmic forces.
And trying to trigger transformation in us.
That's the idea. The
Yeah.
energies of the Earth and the sky are actively, trying to guide us.
Which explains why the astrologers in the material keep saying this time requires going deeply inward.
Yes. Aligning with these forces consciously instead of just reacting with fear or resistance. Mm-hmm. It's a call for internal unity to mirror or maybe even shape the external shift.
Okay, so cosmic shifts, messengers. Now let's pivot because there's another whole layer here, right? Prophecy.
Yes, and this is where it feels almost predetermined. We're shifting to the seemingly fixed track of prophecy, specifically Nostradamus.
But not Nostradamus directly read from the book, right? This is through Dolores Cannon's work.
Correct. Translated through hypnotic regression, using her subjects, people she called vehicles, like Elena and Brenda. It's a fascinating method.
And the sources are very clear that his original quatrains were intentionally obscured. He was afraid, wasn't he?
Deeply afraid. Fear of execution by the Inquisition. So he used layers of illusion, anagrams, symbolic names, just really dense stuff to decode.
Like the example of Russia being called the scythe.
Exactly. Symbolizing this force that just cuts down everything in the field. You had to unravel the symbolism.
So what did this channeled Nostradamus foresee for our times?
Well, intense global cataclysms were a major theme. Massive earthquakes, volcanic eruptions.
From natural disasters.
Yes. But he apparently attributed them directly to the activity caused by planetary conjunctions. He saw a link between the planet's alignments and the Earth's internal stability being affected.
So echoing the astrologers in a way, but with a more catastrophic lens.
Right. And he predicted these major Earth changes were due around the late 1980s, early 1990s.
And there were specific hits. The material mentions one.
The Challenger accident. Yes. That's sobering. The quatrain century 634, describing the machine of flying fire, was interpreted by the subjects as predicting that event in early 86.
Wow.
But he also issued a really urgent warning, apparently, about nuclear testing.
What about it?
He claimed the shockwaves from underground tests were affecting tectonic plates globally, destabilizing the entire planet. He urged humanity to stop.
Which, of course, we didn't. Not entirely. Okay, so Earth changes. What else? There's the figure of the Antichrist, isn't there?
Yes. The sources also paint a pretty clear and, frankly, disturbing picture of this predicted figure.
Where does he come from? What's his deal, according to the channeling?
Originates in the Middle East. And the characterization is specific, combining the influence of Hitler's ideology with the political systems of Libya at the time.
Okay. And his goal?
Unification. To unite third world countries against the Western superpowers.
And his methods. This is where it gets particularly grim, as I recall.
It does. The strategy is described as terrifyingly specific. He uses conventional warfare relentlessly for conquest. Yeah. Expanding, taking over. But he meticulously saves nuclear weapons. Holds them back.
For what?
For other unspeakable deeds. The sources don't detail those, but the implication is horrifying. He causes immense suffering, widespread famine.
And there was something about natural disasters.
Chillingly, yes. He appears to be able to turn natural disasters to his advantage, using the chaos caused by earth changes to disorganize countries, making them ripe for takeover.
Okay, that paints an incredibly dark, deterministic picture of the future, almost like a script playing out.
It really has.
But if these prophecies are fixed, if this is all just laid out, we have to ask the big question, right?
Absolutely. How do we reconcile this predetermined, potentially devastating fate?
With the completely opposite idea from other sources, the metaphysical idea that we have absolute free will, that we actually create our own reality.
Exactly. That's the fundamental tension. Which brings us neatly to the third perspective.
The radical counterpoint. This is the Seth material, channeled by Jane Roberts.
Yes. And its core tenet just shatters that deterministic view completely. It states, unequivocally, consciousness creates form. It is not the other way around.
Not the other way around, meaning reality doesn't create consciousness. Consciousness creates reality.
Precisely. Seth states that physical reality is essentially a mass hallucination.
Whoa. Okay, a mass hallucination, but it feels so real.
Of course it does. That's because we all agree, unconsciously, to participate in it. We share these fundamental root assumptions like time is linear, objects exist independently of us observing them.
Right, basic stuff we take for granted.
And those shared assumptions act like stabilizers. They lock down the reality we perceive, make it consistent.
Okay, but hang on. If it's truly just a hallucination and consciousness manifests instantly, why isn't the world just utter chaos? Why do we all stub our toe on the same table? How does Seth account for the undeniable objectivity of physical laws, things like gravity?
That consistency, that apparent objectivity, comes from the filtering mechanism of those shared root assumptions we just mentioned. We are, in Seth's terms, ego-bound.
Ego-bound, meaning?
Meaning our true self, our multidimensional personality, You could call it the soul or the entity. It uses our physical senses like intense lenses, lenses that force us to see reality in this specific, agreed-upon, three-dimensional way.
So the senses limit us, in a way, to keep the hallucination stable.
You could see it like that. And the soul, the entity, isn't just living this one life. It's manifesting multiple reincarnational personalities simultaneously.
Simultaneously, not one after the other.
Simultaneously. All existing in other probable realities, other systems. Our linear time view is part of the 3D filter.
Mind-bending. So the reality we experience is the result of this highly focused collective agreement.
Yes, but the underlying power still lies within our subjective state, our inner world.
Which has practical implications.
Huge ones. According to Seth, thoughts and emotions aren't just abstract things. They're instantly materialized into physical objects or events.
Instantly.
Instantly. But the key is the intensity.
Ah.
The intensity of an emotion, or the focus of a thought, determines the strength and permanency of the physical image.
So, like I said, a fleeting thought might not build a house.
Exactly. But sustained, intense fear or joy or anger, collectively held, that literally shapes the outer world. Your inner landscape creates the outer landscape.
Wow. And the sources even point out that this creative power is actually amplified, maybe paradoxically, during sleep.
Surprisingly, yes.
Yeah.
During the sleep state, consciousness actually leaves the physical body.
Leaves it.
Yes. And freed from the ego's constraints and the filters of the physical senses, consciousness is far more effective and creative.
More effective? Doing what?
Resolving problems, planning, learning, exploring other dimensions of reality. The dreams we remember upon waking, they're often just distorted, symbolic, final versions of much more intense, non-physical psychic experiences.
Like the dreams where you feel like you're actually flying.
Exactly. In that state, the dream body can literally manipulate time and space in ways impossible while awake and ego-bound. You're accessing more of your true multidimensional selves.
Okay. So, if we're manifesting our physical reality, consciously or unconsciously, maybe we need to look back, understand the mistakes or successes of those who came before us.
That's a crucial link the source material makes. It draws a bridge between these current warnings and potential shifts and the legacy of ancient structures.
Megalithic sites, like the pyramids, Stonehenge.
Precisely. The sheer complexity embedded in these sites strongly suggests they're legacies of a past, perhaps far more advanced civilization.
Give me an example. The Great Pyramid.
Perfect example. It was once sheathed in polished white limestone, gleaming. Its geometry isn't random. It encodes things like the golden section, phi, derived mathematically from a double square. It encodes specific units of measurement, like the imperial mile, and is built with stones weighing tens, sometimes hundreds of tons, fitted with incredible precision. That's the million-dollar question the sources grapple with. And it's not just geometry. Astroarchaeology confirms many of these massive global structures encode highly specific astronomical data.
Like what kind of data?
The 18.6-year lunar cycle, for instance, appears again and again. These sites function as massive, sophisticated observatories.
Or maybe something more. The material mentions them being like sacred talismans.
Yes, perhaps devices built not just to observe the cosmos, but to interact with it, to draw down and structure cosmic energy, maybe stabilize the planet or enhance consciousness.
Which leads us inevitably to Atlantis.
The ultimate lost civilization. And Plato, remember, insisted the story was Logos' true history, not mythos.
He said it was passed down through his family, from Solon, who got it from Egyptian priests, right?
Exactly. Describing an island kingdom, Knessos he called it, not a continent, that was destroyed catastrophically about 9,000 years before his time. And its destruction is tied directly to civilizational collapse. Moral decay, misuse of power.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture,
what
are the sources suggesting?
They suggest that human civilization might move in cycles, pulses, maybe. We rise to great technical or spiritual heights.
And then we fall.
And then we collapse, often due to catastrophes. Some sources even speculate about asteroid impacts, creating huge features like the Gulf of Mexico Basin, events that could reset civilization.
So this history serves as a critical warning for us right now in this potential turning point.
Absolutely. The story of Atlantis, whether literal or symbolic, collapsed because its advanced civilization, according to the myths and sources, succumbed to ego, materialism, and lost its connection to the deeper truths.
We aren't necessarily a young species finding its footing.
No. We might be a species with amnesia, a species that repeatedly collapses and has to painfully reconstruct lost knowledge.
And the existence of these incredible ancient sites, the pyramids, the megaliths, they're like breadcrumbs.
Exactly. Pointing directly back to the kind of knowledge we desperately need to regain right now. Understanding our multidimensional nature, the power of consciousness, and the intricate connection between our inner state and the outer reality we experience.
Okay, let's try to synthesize this. Bring it all together for the final stretch. We have the dark, almost deterministic prophecies of Nostradamus.
Predicting cataclysm and conflict.
Then we have the arrival of this potential cosmic messenger, 3ITless, coinciding with massive astrological shifts like the kite formation, urging a change.
A call to evolve, essentially.
And underpinning it all, we have the Seth material confirming that we are, whether we realize it or not, unconscious co-creators of our own reality.
Yes. So given all that pressure, all those different inputs pointing to now, what is the ultimate goal? What's the point of all this, according to these sources?
Is there a positive potential outcome envisioned?
Yes, definitely. The outcome seems hinged entirely on choice. The sources do look ahead, past the potential turmoil. They envision a figure called the Great Genius.
The Great Genius. Who's that?
A future individual who uses his incredible intellect not for power, but to genuinely help mankind evolve, envisioning things like self-contained, self-supporting space stations.
Okay, that sounds like advanced tech.
And, fascinatingly, organic computers.
Organic computers, like made of living tissue.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
And it sounds like pure sci-fi, but modern science is actually exploring similar concepts now, using proteins like bacteria or dopsin for data storage and processing. So, maybe not so far-fetched.
Interesting. But the real shift, the core message across the sources, it isn't really about waiting for a single genius or some new technology, is it?
No, not at all. That's more like a potential result of the shift. The shift itself is collective. It's internal. It's a non-physical leap in consciousness.
And the timing is critical. You mentioned a cycle ending.
Precisely. This timing is seen as crucial because humanity is understood to be at the very end of a major 24,000-year cycle.
The precession of the equinoxes, that long, slow wobble of the Earth's axis.
That's the one. In esoteric terms, it marks the completion of a great spiritual age for the planet and for humanity. Finishing this cycle means we have capacity right now to make a rapid, collective, evolutionary leap.
To a higher state of consciousness, a different way of being.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A leap that might normally take millennia, potentially achievable very quickly because of the unique energetic conditions of this cycle's end.
So the pressure from the kite formation, the stark warnings from Nostradamus, the profound knowledge from Seth about our creative power, it's all converging on the single point in time.
That's the synthesis, yes.
Yeah.
It's like the universe is saying, evolve consciously now or face the consequences of remaining stuck in the old patterns, which, according to prophecy, leads to collapse.
The choice then is stark?
It is. It's between resisting the shift, clinging to the familiar ego-bound, fearful, linear reality that feels solid but is ultimately self-created. Or consciously opening to the ways the energies of the earth and sky are trying to guide us, as the astrologers put it.
Which means doing the inner work.
Yes. Focusing intensely on achieving inner unity and of oneness, recognizing our interconnectedness, and taking responsibility for the reality we collectively project. The knowledge is available, the external triggers are here, and the internal mechanism, our own creative consciousness, is primed for activation.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? The sheer volume of information from such diverse sources, all pointing toward a fundamental reshaping of reality, both inside and out, it's hard to just ignore.
It really is. The stakes feel incredibly high.
So maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. If the outer environment is truly a reflection of the inner.
And if you, collectively, are creating your own physical reality with every intense thought and emotion.
Then is it possible that the collective time of troubles predicted by Nostradamus is actually just a literal external representation of a self-imposed, dark, and largely brooding inner landscape?
A landscape that humanity has collectively, perhaps unconsciously, refused to acknowledge and correct.
Something to mull over. Consider what internal shift, individually and collectively, might be needed to navigate these times, maybe even prevent the most difficult external scenarios from fully manifesting.
A powerful question to sit with.